Daniel chapter number 6. I'm going to just read one verse, and really it's a main verse that we use this morning from Daniel chapter number 6. We won't go into the details again of what happened in Daniel 6, of Daniel being thrown in the lion's den. We've read it and reread it this week and talked about it on Wednesday night and mentioned some things about it this morning again. But Daniel chapter number 6, and this is the last event that's covered in Daniel's life. He's an old man now and walked with God for many years. In verse number 28, it says, "So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian." And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the testimony of Daniel, how he stood for you. Lord, as we sang that great song, "Great is thy faithfulness." Lord, Daniel is faithful. We can be faithful when we keep our eyes focused on you. For you are faithful. You are righteous. You are holy. You are pure. You are true. You are just, Lord. Anything that we have comes from you. I pray that you would bless your word tonight. I pray that it would encourage us to walk closer to you. And Lord, that you would speak to us now through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Why Daniel prospered. I cannot get rid of this bug in my throat. It just keeps coming back. It's buzzing around. It's springtime. The bugs are coming alive, right? The frogs croaking or something. But why Daniel prospered? He prospered this morning, we talked about, because he prayed. And if we learn to pray like Daniel. And again, prosperity is not the same for a Christian as it is for the world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And this world's, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Did I get it right? Help me out, Linda. All right. our world, our treasures are laid up in heaven. And that's where our prosperity is focused on. Daniel prospered because Daniel prayed. Daniel prospered because he walked in the Spirit. And I can't think of an Old Testament character, many New Testament characters that demonstrate, of course, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit was not the same in the Old Testament as it is in the New Testament. But Daniel certainly demonstrates what it is to walk in the Spirit. There's a number of verses I want you to look at. And first of all, before we get to the main thoughts that I want to give you tonight, but look at the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar. And we've talked much about Nebuchadnezzar. He's one of the main characters in the book of Daniel in chapter number 2. And verse number 1, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherein his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. And verse number 3, and the king said to them, "I have dreamed a dream and my spirit was troubled to know the dream." Now before we get very far, let me mention this. When you see the word spirit in the Bible, and I... years ago did this study and I found it very fascinating, interesting. I know I've shared it with you a couple of different times, but maybe you weren't here at that time. But there's three different ways we can see the meaning of that spirit. And the context usually shows us what it's talking about. When you see the word spirit in the Bible, it's talking about one of three things. Either it's talking, first of all, about the Spirit of God. God is a spirit. He is a spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. And then secondly, it could be talking about a spirit being. And those are two categories, angels I guess we call them good angels or bad angels, angels of God or fallen angels, demonic spirits. And then, and by the way, if you divide it up, and I went through all of the Bible and every place that the word spirit, and I don't know how many hundreds of times it's used in the Bible, and it was pretty much divided evenly among these three categories. And the last category is this, and this is what I want to focus on tonight, and this is the way it was used in the two verses we just read in Daniel chapter number 2 of Nebuchadnezzar, and that is our spirit or our attitude, who we are. Our inner being, our attitude, our spirit, and the spirit. spirit of man. And then let's go on in chapter number 4. We're talking about Nebuchadnezzar's testimony, the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar, what he saw in Daniel in chapter number 4 in verse number 8 and 9. And it says, at the last Daniel came in. Again, I'm not reading the context of all these verses. You know, we've been reading the first 6 chapters of Daniel over and over again. The last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. Again, this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking. And in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods. Now notice, Nebuchadnezzar didn't understand who God was. He's still talking about multiple gods, but he noticed something different about Daniel. The spirit of the holy gods is in thee. And we'll just go from there. There's a testimony of Nebuchadnezzar as he looked at Daniel. And the testimony of the queen, Nebuchadnezzar's wife, in Daniel chapter number 5. And Nebuchadnezzar is now dead when we come to chapter number 5. But his wife, the queen, we assume we're talking about his wife when we see the queen mentioned in Daniel chapter number 5. And verse number 10, it says, now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came unto the banquet house. And the queen spake, saying, O king, live forever. And of course, she's talking to Belshazzar. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy gods, again, plural, in the days of thy father, the light, and we'll just leave it at that. And there's the testimony of the queen and the testimony of Belshazzar in chapter number 5 and verse number 14. As Belshazzar speaks to Daniel, or as he calls him, Belteshazzar, I have heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And then I want to mention this. The spirit, God's spirit, changes our spirit. It's God's spirit that changes our spirit. This is the direction we're going to go tonight. Look at Daniel chapter number 5 and verse number 12. It says, for as much as an excellent spirit, an excellent attitude and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. In chapter number 6 and verse number 3, again it said, and Daniel was preferred above the presidents. This is now Darius is the king in chapter number 6. He was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was found in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And I mentioned a couple of times as we've been in the book of Daniel, this is the only character in the Bible that says he had an excellent spirit. That's an important phrase there, a perfect attitude. And the world, and I want to say this, the world and the religion has no ability to change our spirit, to understand our spirit. Go back to Daniel chapter number 2. Again, this is all foundational. I'm looking at a number of verses here before we get into the message. Daniel chapter number 2, verses 10 and 11. The world and religion has no ability to change who we are, but God can. God's spirit can change our spirit. Daniel chapter number 2 and verse number, I got it on the right page here, verse number 10 and 11. And the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not. Now, these are the religious experts. These are the magicians, the astrologers, those that claim to know the many gods. There's not a man upon the earth that can show the king this matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asketh such things at any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requires. There is none other that can show it before the king except the gods. Again, the misunderstanding of who God was, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Only God can change our spirit. Even the religious experts recognize that. Even the experts in our world realize that, you know, a person's character, and I've heard this said many times in dealing with different people and talking with counselors of different, well, you really can't change the character of a person. In man's eyes, I would say that's exactly right. But God can. Because God did, I believe God can do. And there again is our theme for Bible school, which we will get to, Lord willing, this summer. You know, when I think of spirits, some of you men are going to like this, I think of cats. Cats are spirit beings, aren't they? They're demonic beings, I think is what they are. I was just thinking of something this week. Some may say they're angelic. Some may say they're demonic. I'm not sure which, but I got thinking this morning of some things about Daniel. And actually this week, I'm not a cat person, though we've had a number of cats in our house, primarily when our girls were little. We had a lot of fun with them. I think of our favorite cats, Miss Fogg or Biff. That was one of the ones. And the one cat that was just crazy, that its back legs would walk in front of its front legs. And there's a reason that mama cats abandon their kittens sometimes, and we found out that. A cat is an unusual animal, aren't they? A cat sometimes, I'm not really a cat person. I don't hate cats. Well, I grew up with a lot of cats with a sister that loved cats, so we'd do things to cats that I shouldn't probably talk about. But anyways, a cat just kind of, there's just something about them. You walk by them, just minding your own business, and they just kind of give you this attitude, don't they? Huh? You love that when I do that. Just no reason at all. What is wrong with you, cat? I think that's why women like cats. Oh, don't go there. No, I just lost all the ladies here right now. All right. Happy Valentine's Day. All right. Get yourself a little heart sucker there, okay? Then that'll make it all better, right? I thought, there's some unusual things about a cat that makes me think of the spirit of Daniel. One thing, we had cats at home, and I remember waiting for the school bus when I was a kid, and I'd be sitting out reading a book or something, a cat would come and sit on your lap on your book. And you push it off, and it just comes right back. You push it off a little bit harder, and it comes right back and sits up and gives you that little purr, and then you take it and throw it. Of course, I wouldn't do that now, but it just comes right back. No matter what you do, it just comes right back. And the farther you throw it, it just comes right back. They can always find their way back. And another thing unusual about a cat is when you throw it, it always lands how? On its feet. Isn't that amazing? And you know, I got thinking about that particular aspect of a cat. I thought Daniel's kind of like a cat. He had an excellent spirit. No matter what you did to him, no matter how far he got thrown, he always landed on his feet. Because he had an excellent spirit. I don't know why I got into that cat, that thought just came across my mind this week. But the spirit of man is something that is a fascinating thing that dictates our behavior. It dictates how God uses us. Daniel prospered because he not only prayed, but he had an excellent spirit. In fact, the reason that he had an excellent spirit is because he did pray. If we don't pray like we should, like Daniel did, we cannot have that excellent spirit. I was thinking of a number of things this week, and I just jotted a few references down. One of the chapters I'm working on my own personal devotion time in memorizing a chapter. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, he feared, and he talks about going to the church of Corinth for a third time. He spent two rather lengthy times at Corinth, two sections of years at Corinth. And he talked about going there the third time, and the churches, the church was being corrected about a number of things in 1 and 2 Corinthians. But at the end of 2 Corinthians, he says, "For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would. I'm afraid that I'm going to see things I don't want to see. And that I shall be found unto you as such as ye would not. And I fear I might react in a way that you would not want to see me react." We got a problem here. And he said, "Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults." Those are some pretty bad things. He said, "I'm afraid that when I come, these things are going to be seen in you and in me." And I say that I pray for you. I need your prayers too. All right? And Galatians chapter number 5 says the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about walking in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, tempers. I had to have them written down or I get them in the wrong order. I know they're all there, but I get them in the wrong order sometimes. So in Ephesians chapter number 5, again, Paul talks about it. God talks about in Ephesians of the fruit of the Spirit as well. The list is not as extensive there. But he says in Ephesians chapter number 5, in verse number 18 through 21, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled by or with the Spirit." And here's the evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves, there's an excellent spirit, and an excellent spirit is a spirit-filled Christian. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Give me thanks for all things. Ephesians chapter number 4. Of course, that comes before chapter 5. It usually does, doesn't it? And all of Ephesians chapter number 4, just the ending of that chapter says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." That's what Paul was fearing he was going to see when he comes back to Corinth, in himself and those in Corinth. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not this Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now just say this and we're going to come back to Daniel. The Holy Spirit is grieved and quenched by a wrong spirit, by a wrong attitude. God's Spirit is quenched. In fact, I believe that that is the biggest thing, the biggest hurdle, the biggest obstacle in the work of God is the quenching and the grieving of God's Holy Spirit, because our spirit, our attitude, is not what it ought to be. Now, God's grace, God miraculously, and He's the only one that can truly change our spirit, our attitude. And I can speak from experience that He can take a melancholy personality and change them into a rejoicing. That's how I spell rejoicing. A rejoicing personality. And he does that through prayer and obedience. What I see in Daniel, Daniel prospered because he prayed, and because he prayed, he had an excellent spirit. He walked in the Spirit. And we're just going to give you three things concerning Daniel. Let's go back to the book of Daniel. Daniel, first of all, chose to have a right spirit. Daniel chose to have a good spirit. It's available to us, but we must make the choice. Just like salvation is available to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, it's available to everybody, isn't it? Are you with me? Salvation is available to everybody. A good spirit is available to everybody. A good attitude is available to everybody. Daniel, maybe more so, and I see the same thing in Joseph, but Daniel's a character that God said he had an excellent spirit, but I see the same thing in Joseph that I see in Daniel, and in Job, and a number of Bible characters, really, when you think about it. They had, if anybody ever had a reason to be bitter, it would be Daniel. That's just the reality. If anybody could ever claim the victim mentality, that's a popular thing for people to claim today, isn't it? It would be Daniel. But then Daniel chapter number 1, and again, let's look at some things concerning Daniel in verse number 8 and 9. It says, and Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, look at verse number 9. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Now, if you keep in mind what Daniel had gone through in his early life, till the time when he got to this point, as he's now a prisoner, and he's had some terrible things happen to him, worse than you and I will probably ever face already as a child. But he purposed in his heart, and God brought him into a loving, kind relationship with the very one that he should have hated the most. The one that he saw every day. And in our mind, if we were in that situation, we would have despised that person. But God brought Daniel into a loving, caring relationship. You see, Daniel chose not to let his circumstances control his spirit. You think of, and I've read many stories of different people, say, Holocaust survivors. One of the most humbling experiences in my life when my son and daughter-in-law invited us to come to Washington, D.C. with them and to go to visit a number of places. We just kind of traveled along and let them guide us. They allowed, I think, an hour and a half or 2 hours at the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. We went in the doors and I thought, we ain't getting through this in 2 hours. I want to come back here for a couple of days. Over and over again, we saw the unspeakable things that happen during the Holocaust. And it's amazing to me. This is just one of the foolish things of our day. Some people even are denying that such a thing even took place. But that's just the stupidity of our day on display. But oftentimes I've read stories of folks or prisoners of war and the things that they went through. And they will often talk about how they had to learn to just laugh. To not get bogged down with the evil that was all around them. They couldn't let their spirits get down. They had to learn to see the humor in things and to think positive, even though there's nothing positive to see, nothing positive to think about. They learned to laugh and to see beyond their circumstances, because if you get focused on your circumstances, it's just a matter of days. Some survive for long periods of time because they learn to see beyond their circumstances. And the same thing is true with Daniel. I can say from experience, learning to laugh may get you in trouble, but it helps you keep your sanity. Many times learning to laugh has got me in a lot of trouble because I've got to do it to keep my sanity. Otherwise, you're going to go completely insane. And Daniel chose to have a right spirit. He chose to look at the good thing, the positive things. Chose to look for the God of heaven and look beyond his circumstances, to look past the place that he was in. So Daniel chose to have a right spirit, a good attitude. even though he had no reason, there was nothing that he could see that would cause him to have that right spirit, but he chose, I'm going to have good spirit. I'm going to have a good spirit. I'm going to have a good attitude. And then secondly, Daniel recognized the Lord's spirit. In other words, Daniel had more than a positive mental attitude. He had the Lord with him. And that is something that we can understand more than Daniel understood. Because we all have the ever presence of the Lord in our life. Philippians 2, and you know the verse says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let his mind be in you, which was also in Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author, Hebrews chapter number 12, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He looked beyond what he was going through, and he saw something beyond that. Daniel recognized that it was the Lord's Spirit. In verse number, in chapter 1 of Daniel, in verse number 17, as for these four children, notice this, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in visions and dreams. They realized that what they had came from God. It wasn't because they chose to change their diet. It wasn't because the miracle food that they had, they didn't even have, was it black coffee drink? Somebody showed me a can of that. It wasn't because their power drink or whatever it was. And I told them my power drink is Dr. Pepper or coffee. So some folks are on all those power drinks and everything. But it's not what he was doing or what he was eating or what he was not eating. It was the power of God. And they recognized that. In fact, in Daniel chapter number 2, I remember when he came to Nebuchadnezzar. Look at a couple of verses in Daniel chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 19 of Daniel chapter number 2. It says, then the secret was revealed unto Daniel. Excuse me, that just comes out sometimes. I'm reverting back to my childhood. The secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. And then Daniel stands before the king, and notice what he says before King Nebuchadnezzar in verse number 28. But there is a God in heaven. You see, Daniel recognized the spirit that he had and that he needed didn't come from his willpower, from his strength, from his ability. It came from God. God is the one that can change the spirit of men. In verse number 28, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. And thy dream and thy visions and upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, I don't have any ability. It's not me. There's nothing I can do. This secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any other thing, any living. But for their sakes that shall come to know the interpretation of the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. It's not my ability. It's not my changing my attitude. It's not me getting a better attitude. Boy, I need to work on my attitude. No, I need to walk with Jesus. Yes, ma'am. You have a question?
I didn't know my perfect pronunciation was like all that bad. So, changing circumstances in your situation is going to be like a huge factor in like changing your attitude. But on the other hand, the faith will not be, right? So,
spirit, our understanding, but a lot of it has to do with our lack of knowledge of who God is. Daniel, from a child, knew who God was. And he determined that he was not going to let the world dictate his feelings, his emotions. He was just going to walk with God and trust in God. And the more he prayed, the more God protected and changed his spirit. Because our natural response when we push, or when we are pushed, when we get in a bad situation, what do we want to do? We want to push back. We want to fight back. We want to let them have it. Boy, they hurt me, I'm going to hurt them. That's our natural response. But Daniel understood that God can give him a different perspective and a different response, and that the illustration of Christ is a big thing of how Jesus, and that's why we mentioned, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you look at Jesus Christ, how he was mistreated, how he was abused, how he was despised and rejected. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, and yet he loved us. He still loves us, even though there's no reason he should, other than he is love. And there's nothing lovely, there's nothing desirable in us, but he saw in us a being that he originally created in his image, a fallen image that he wants to redeem and restore back to a right relationship with him. And then if you think of this, and this is the next thing in my note, Jesus taught and practiced that we should love even our enemies. And I see that very clearly in Daniel. Those that he should have hated, he loved them. The ones that were reprogramming him, that were abusing him, he loved them, and God brought him into a close relationship, even with his enemies. What an amazing thing that is. Daniel, and it gives a couple examples in Daniel's life. In chapter number 2, when Nebuchadnezzar said that, I'm going to destroy all the wise men because they're a bunch of phonies. They can't tell me anything. They're a bunch of religious nuts that don't really have a relationship with God. And Daniel said, King, I can tell you what the interpretation means. But notice what Daniel said in chapter 2, in verse number 24. It says, and Daniel went unto Arioch, and the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went to the one who was appointed by the king to destroy all the wise men, which included Daniel. He said, and he went and said unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. In other words, he was not only defending himself, he was defending his religious enemies, those that despise his God. He was asking not to destroy the other wise men of Babylon. And then in chapter number 4, I need to go through this to get through them, kind of jumping around, I know, but in chapter number 4 in Daniel, when the king had a dream and asked Daniel to come in and interpret that dream, when God broke him, and if you remember in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar comes to salvation in Christ, but in chapter 4 in verse number 19, when Daniel was told by the king what his dream was, Daniel's first response in verse number 19. Now keep in mind, this is the man that took Daniel from his home. This is the man that destroyed Daniel's family. This is the man that was responsible for putting Daniel in this terrible situation as a child. This is the man that Daniel should have, for all earthly reasons, he should have hated, should have despised this person. When God says he's going to judge him, most of us, I know I would be one, yeah, let him have it. Go for it. Tear him up. Destroy him. Daniel, in verse number 19, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for an hour. In other words, his heart was broken. He was speechless for an hour. And when he finally said something, he said his thoughts troubled him. And this king spake finally and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation trouble thee. He could see he was very disturbed by what he saw. And Belteshazzar, or Daniel, answered and said, my lord. Notice how he spoke to the king. My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. Look at the love that Daniel displayed toward Nebuchadnezzar, who for all earthly reasons he should have despised and hated. You see, Jesus taught us and practiced loving your enemies, and we see that in Daniel's life. Daniel recognized the Lord's Spirit. It was God that was working in him. It wasn't something that, I don't know if there's a person that's ever been born that's strong enough to muster up that strength to forgive and to love somebody that hated and did so much damage and harm to Daniel, as Daniel showed to Nebuchadnezzar. But the Spirit of God can do that. And then I want to mention this, Daniel honored when he could not obey. That's an important key thought, and this could be a whole message. And let me give you, Daniel honored, and we see the same thing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in chapter 3. They honored even though they could not obey the king. In chapter number 1, I won't read all the verses, but you remember in chapter 1, and verse number 10 through 16, when Daniel first approached the steward, Melzar, which means the steward, the one who was in charge of all the eunuchs. When he first approached him, and God brought him to a loving, favorable relationship with this man that he should have hated, should have despised. And Daniel approached him very lovingly and graciously and carefully. In fact, here's something. He showed him respect and reverence, even though he had reason to not show him respect, as far as we're concerned. But in God's eyes, we should always respect. Let me just state this. I have this note written on the side. I wasn't planning on having it in my message, but I just to say this. If we come to the place, and some of us were saved into a situation where we had to learn the hard way, begin to learn, I should say, because none of us really fully learn any of these spiritual lessons, but I had to, in my situation, learn to honor my parents even though I could not obey them. They told me I shouldn't be reading the Bible. They told me I shouldn't be spending so much time reading the Bible. They told me I shouldn't be going to that church that preached the Bible. I shouldn't be talking about heaven and hell so much. I had to disobey them. It took me some time to realize I still need to honor them. And that was a turning point in my life. And when it comes to a place, and I'll give you a couple of examples here in a minute, and Daniel is one of the key examples, when we must disobey, we still must honor those in authority. And a lot of you are thinking immediately of Romans 13. We'll get there in a little bit. But there's three principles. If we are going to disobey and honor, there's three basic principles. And one is, we better have a biblical reason to disobey. Did you catch that? It's not what I just think, it's this way. We better make sure, with any authority, our reason for disobedience is a biblical reason. And secondly, and we're going to see this in a minute in Daniel and then in the New Testament, we must be willing to pay the consequences of our disobedience. Did you catch that? If I'm going to disobey, I better make sure I have a biblical reason, and I better be ready to pay the consequences of that disobedience. And maybe most importantly, what we're talking about tonight, I better make sure I have a right spirit, a right attitude, or none of the above can be true. Daniel carefully approached Melzar in chapter 1. He was willing to suffer the consequence. Put us to the test. Put us on this diet that it looks like we're not going to stand a chance to be stronger. Let's put God to the test. And we're willing to pay the price. If this experiment fails, we'll be willing to do whatever. And we'll pay the price. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, well, when they refused to bow to the king's statue, his golden image, they said, we're not going to bow. You might as well heat up that fire and throw us in. We're willing to pay the consequences. We're not going to disobey God. We're willing, and we've got a biblical reason for that, and we're willing to pay the consequences. God's able to deliver us in this world, and He will deliver us in the end eventually. But even if He doesn't obey us or doesn't deliver us in this life, we're still going to obey Him. We're going to pay that consequence. And they showed respect and reverence to the king in making that request. In fact, they respected the king properly, which I'll get to that in just a minute. But Daniel, and even our chapter we're looking at this week, Daniel was willing to go to the lion's den. He didn't throw a protest. He didn't say, "Oh, that's not fair. I have my rights as a citizen. You can't throw me to the lion's den. I have due process." He didn't protest. He said, "You know what? I'm still going to pray. And I'm willing to pay the consequences of disobeying the king. And I'm going to have a right spirit toward the king at the same time." And let me just use this in the New Testament. The apostles were willing to suffer and die for the cause of Christ. There's an interesting story that's oftentimes one phrase that's often quoted, sometimes with the wrong spirit and the wrong attitude, and misquoted, I should say, in Acts chapter number 5. And it says in chapter 5 and verse number 29 of the book of Acts, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than man.'" And I don't believe Peter had the attitude that most of us have when we quote that. "First God, we're going to obey God. We're not going to listen to what you say." I know I didn't have the right attitude when I disobeyed my parents. Even though I did right, I had the wrong attitude, and it caused more harm than good. That took years to repair that damage that had been done because my attitude was not right. I really wasn't thinking through and wasn't willing to pay the consequences of that disobedience. But it says in Acts chapter 5 and 29, I won't read all the verses, but after they made that stand, Gamaliel stood up for them. You're familiar with who Gamaliel is, and that's a fun name and a hard word to say, a name to say, isn't it? But after he gave his speech, they were ready to kill them for the disobedience, okay? You won't obey God, we'll kill you. But Gamaliel stood up to their defense, and then it says they were beaten. And they were commanded not to preach Jesus anymore. The first thing they did in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 41, when they were released, they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. They had a different attitude than I would have had. That they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily in the temple, and in every house, they ceased not to preach Jesus Christ. They were willing to suffer the consequences, and they disobeyed with the right spirit. We've got to obey God. And I don't think they were snubbing them. I don't think they were angry, and they said it. You know what? You want us not to preach Christ? Well, we've got to obey Christ. We've got to obey God. Romans chapter number 13. If you look at that verse, and I won't turn there, but most of us know the verse in Romans chapter number 13. It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, and the powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Remember what I said? If we're going to disobey them, we better be willing to be subject. If they say we can't preach Christ or we're going to be in prison, okay, we're going to preach Christ, but we're going to prison. We're subject. We will willingly go. We'll turn ourselves in. We'll let them take us. We'll let them take us to the cross. And you read stories of martyrs throughout history, how they willingly went. And of course, it's natural in our flesh to try to defend ourselves, to try to run or flee or whatever. When it came to the execution time, okay, Paul laid his head down on the chopping block, said, let me have it, big boy. Make sure you make a good clean cut. I'm going to pay the consequences. I'm willing to pay the consequences. And I have biblical reason to stand where I stand and I'm going to keep the right spirit. And I'm going to hold nothing personal against you and Daniel. And then I want to mention this, and we'll close here. Daniel greeted the dignitaries with respect. He treated authority with the proper respect. There's an unusual statement that Daniel makes it once, and a number of different people make it a number of times. Look in chapter number 2, in Daniel chapter number 2, in verse number 36 and 37. Verse number 36 says, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath given to thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." And Daniel spoke to Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, this is the only character in the Bible other than the Lord Jesus Christ that is referred to as the King of Kings. Jeremiah referred to him once, and Daniel refers to Nebuchadnezzar as the King of Kings. The only man that other than the God-man, Jesus Christ, is referred to as the King of Kings. Daniel showed him great respect. Hey, you're the greatest king that's ever been. You are your empire that you built is the great. He showed him a great deal of respect. And then later in Daniel chapter number 6, notice how he approached Darius in Daniel chapter number 6. And we could go to the New Testament and see how the Apostle Paul greeted those that were in authority and spoke to them with proper respect and reverence for their position. In chapter number 6 and verse number 21, Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever." And I mentioned earlier when folks greeted Nebuchadnezzar with that greeting, what a silly greeting that is. And yet, it was the proper way to speak to the king. So Daniel used that, even though in his mind, he's probably like me saying, "Daniel, you ain't going to live forever." But he spoke to him like you are supposed to speak to a king. And I say that because we live in a day that even Christians have lost sight of that. How do we speak of dignitaries and leaders? When we don't agree with them, why that no good for nothing? I've heard people talk about their pastor that way. I've heard people talk about the president, governors, and we better learn to speak with proper reverence that God, and that's a part of having a right spirit, a right attitude. But if our spirit's not right and we think that we could do a better job, let me give you a little clue here. You don't get elected to be the president of the United States by being an idiot. Some of you say, "Oh yeah, I know a couple of them." Hey, and we sometimes get that attitude because of our self-righteousness, because we think that we're somebody. I don't see that in Daniel, but we see it very often, even amongst Christians today, speaking about those that are in authority. We better be very careful to have a right spirit and a right attitude and give honor to whom honor is due. If we're going to disobey, we're going to disobey on biblical principles. But part of the biblical principle is having a right spirit that Daniel displayed. I'll just say it, I'll summarize it this way. I can stand for truth, but I don't need to be a jerk. That's the way I always thought. That's the way God told me. Hey, you're standing for truth, but don't be a jerk about it, all right? And Daniel certainly illustrates that. But he walked in the Spirit. The Spirit of God was in control of his attitude. And that's why I believe that Daniel gives us a great illustration in the Old Testament of a spirit. I think Daniel and Joseph, I think, and there's two characters that God never points out anything specifically that was a sin in their life, even though we know they were sinners, but God points out to them an excellent spirit in Joseph, the spirit of forgiveness, and in Daniel, a right spirit. He had an excellent spirit, an excellent attitude in everything that he did. And why Daniel prospered? Because he prayed, and because he prayed, he walked in the Spirit. And God was in control of his life, in control. controlling his attitude, his spirit, and everything about him. And you know, how we greet other people speaks volumes about us. When somebody walks up to you, well, hello. Well, that tells me something there. Attitude check. But we need to be careful that we have the right spirit as Daniel. We certainly see it demonstrated in Daniel's life. I don't think Daniel would have lasted very long if he had the attitude that some of us have demonstrated, that sometimes we naturally display towards others. Let's stand to your feet.